Masechta Bava Kama is dedicated to many different areas of Dini Mominus. The first area is Tashlumei Nezikin, which damage law, and the compensation that the damager who's responsible for the damage has to pay to the Nizak, the one who is damaged, all based on Prakim, Chaf Aleph, and Chaf Beis in Sefer Shmos Parshas Mishpatim. There are four major super categories of Nezikin. A man can damage his friend's body, that's called Chavola. A man could damage his friend's Mamon, that's called Adama Mazik. A man's Mamon, he's responsible for Shmira, to protect his animals, for example, not to go out and damage. And either his mamon damages another human being physically, or his animals damage the possessions, the mamon of his friend. The Mishnah here at the beginning of Bava Kama addresses the last two cases, namely where the animal, the mamon of a person, and the owner of this animal was negligent in watching the animal and protecting it to safeguard that it shouldn't go out and damage, and it damaged either the body of another human being or his mama, his possessions. Amongst the categories, as we call them before, the super categories of Nezikin in animals or possessions where the moment of a person was mazik someone else, we have four super categories which are called the Avos Nezikin. And the reason why they are called Avos, Rashi explains, is because they're written in the Torah. And what we're going to study today, Mirtz Hashem, is where do we find these categories in the Torah. Arba Avos Nezikim, says the Mishnah, Hashar, Vabar, Vamave, Vehahever. Of all these four, there are two that are crystal clear, and nobody debates their definition. That's Bar. Bar is something that damages because the Nizak comes to the Mazik and he falls in. And then we have the case of Hever, which is Eish, where a person creates a mazik which is carried by the forces of nature and damages. The two that are a little bit less clear, shall we say, are Shar and Mave. Rav takes all the Nezikin of a Shar and combines them under Shar. There are three Nezikin, or three Avos Nezikin, included under Shar. And they are Keren, Shein, and Regel. Keren is where the animal has Kavana Lahazik. It's an intention, it's a belligerent animal that aggressively and deliberately damages. Shein is the animal that damages because it has a benefit by eating, by consuming. Regel is where the animal just simply is going on its way, and without any intention to damage, it damages Urche b'derech ilucha, as it's going. The sources in the Torah for these categories of Shar, which is Keren, Shein, v'regel, that's how Rav understands the Mishnah, you'll find in Shmos Chaf Aleph, Ki Yigov Shar Ish Es Shar Yehu V'meis, Umachru es hashor achai, v'chotzu es kaspo, v'gam es hames yechotzu. So this is the case of Shar Tam, which means that the Shar, as a Keren, damaged up to but not beyond three times. After the third time, it becomes a Shar Amugad. A Shar Tam only pays Chatzi Nezek, and it pays Migufo. Shar Muad pays Nezek Sholei Me'aliyah. We'll explain these terms as we go along. Then we have Shein and Regel, which are in the following Perek. That's Perek Chav Beis. Kiyivar ish sode o kerem v'shilach es be'iro bir b'stei acher meitav sode meitav karmi yishalem v'shilach. We'll have a brisa later on. Zu haregel ubir zu hashem. Shmuel limits or constricts this concept of shor in the Mishnah. In other words, the interpretation of the word shor in the Mishnah according to Shmuel is limited to regel, and therefore he is open to the suggestion that maveh is shein. So we have regel under shor according to Shmuel and shein under maveh, and then we're going to have to find some sort of basis for the case of keren. Habor, as we discussed earlier, and then hamaveh. Maveh is also unclear. Again, a machlok shin rav and Shmuel. Shmuel, as we said earlier, identifies maveh as shein. And Rav identifies maveh as Adam Hamazik, which means that according to Shmuel, there's no mention, there's no remez here at all to Adam Hamazik in the four Avos Nezikin. And that's going to have to be formulated by the Mishnah elsewhere. And then we have Hever, which we said was Eish. Eish means the fire is lit, and if you don't watch it properly, the fire is going to spread through the power of the wind, which is called Koach Acher Me'uruvbo. These are concepts that we'll deal with in Mirtz Hashem as we go along. The Mishnah has a definite order to it, a Seder, and it basically reflects the Seder Apsukim, because Kiigach, which is Shor, is written, as we said, in Perek Chaf Aleph. Bar is next in the same Perek. Ki yiftach ish bar, o ki yichre ish bar. And if you go according to Rav, that Shar includes all the Nezikin of a Shar, which means Keren, Shein, and Regel, then the order of the Mishnah is very clear. It reflects in mirror images the order of the Torah, because immediately after the parashios of Kiigach, of Shor, we have the parasha of Bar. In the case of Adam HaMazik, we have a parasha later on in the Torah, and therefore if Maveh, according to Rav, is Adam HaMazik, it makes sense that it's placed in the Mishnah after Bar. Maveh, you'll find at the end of Parshas Emor, it says Umake Nefesh Behema Yishalmena. The question is going to be about Eish, which is Hever, and that's listed in the Mishnah last, even though it's here in Parshas Mishpatim in Perek Chav Beis. And the question is why Adam HaMazik, according to Rav's interpretation of Maveh, was wedged in here when Adam HaMazik is Parshas Emor and Sefer Vayikra. Here's where the sequence in our Mishnah is a little bit out of order in comparison to the Parshias of the Torah. With regard to Bar, it's critical that we understand that there are two super categories of bar. They're both avos. One is a bar that a person owns. He owns the ground itself or the pit. And the other is where he has no ownership over the bar, but rather he dug the bar in a Rishus HaRabim. That's going to be a subject of a major sugya later on in Masechta Bava Kama, a machlokes, a moroim, and a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. All this is in Mem Tesem and Beis. And Rabba is going to learn that if you dig a bar in Rishus HaRabim, you're chayev according to everyone. There's going to be a machlokas in a case where you dig a bar in your own possession, your own backyard. Rabbi Kiva says you're chayev. Rabbi Shmuel says you're potter. That's according to Rabba, according to Rabbi Yosef. If he owns a bar, then everyone agrees, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, that he's chayev for the bar. But the question of a bar that was dug by a person in Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Shmuel is the one who's Machayev. Rabbi Akiva says Yipotur. This is a profound sugyev bar later on Daf Mem Tes. The Lashon of the Mishnah for Eish is Hever, which is a little bit strange. It should have said Maveh, and there's a long discussion even in Rishonim about the language of, I'm sorry, did I say Eish? I meant to say Maveh, which is, according to Shmuel, Shein. And the question is, Shein should be Mevaer. Mevaer means to consume. What's Maveh? And that has to do with the sugya here on Daf Gimel called Machal Yekarna, Lo Machal Yekarna, the issue as to whether Shein is Chayev, even in a case where the vegetable that the animal ate could reproduce itself from the ground. In other words, the animal did not remove the vegetation by pulling out its roots, so the roots are still there and it could replenish itself and regrow and grow back again. Others say that the word maveh here indicates that it's an achila sheyesh bahana, and that's going to be a sugya also on Daf Gimel. In any event, let's just review that maveh, according to Rav, is on a mamazik. According to Shmuel, maveh is shein. And now the Mishnah explains why the Torah had to give us all four supercategories or avos of nezikin. Why wouldn't it be sufficient to tell us this one and we'll derive logically the other one? Lo are ashar. In other words, if we only had shar, kareya mave, we would not be able to derive mave. There's a certain chumrah in shar, which generates the chiyuv tashlumei nezikin. We would understand that yechayev for shar. We would not understand necessarily that yechayev for mave, which is a bit of a pella, according to Rav, because maveh is adam amazik, and therefore certainly, if you're chayev for mamon amazik, you should certainly, with a kalvachomer, be chayev for adam amazik. We understand very well the next line in the Mishnah, lo areya maveh kareya shor, that the Torah had to write shor, the Torah should be more, logically be more machmir, in Adam Amazik. For example, if you have Chovel, we have five categories of Chavol that you have to pay for. That's a Chumrah in Adam Amazik that you don't find in Shar. What's the Chumrah of Shar over Adam? And that has to do with the Parsha of Kofar in the case of a Shar that kills a person. According to Shmuel, it's a little bit easier because Shmuel says that Shar is a reference to Regel. Mav is a reference to Shein, so Regel is more chomer than Shar because it's Matsui, that's the way the animal goes, and Shein has a chumra that the animal gets benefit from it, Yesh Hanola Zeka. Then the Mishnah says, Velo ze veze, sheyesh bahem ruach chaim karea eish, I would not be able to derive eish from the cases of maveh and shar, because both shar and maveh are yesh bo ruach chayim, these are live beings, and it makes sense that you're chayim for the nezikin of your live being. It's almost like an extension of yourself. But with the case of eish, which is not a live being, maybe a person is not responsible for the nezikin of eish. He doesn't have in mind to watch it, to protect it. So we would not be able to derive eish, even if we had both shar and maveh, because shar and maveh are both yesh bem ruach chayim, velo ze vaze, and eish could not be the paradigm from which we derive shar and maveh, shedarkam lelech ulahazik. And Tosus points out that logically, the darkon lelech ulahazik, in the case of Eish, is really not a chumrah. It's not a reason that we should be mechayev you to pay tashlumin nezikin. Says Tosus Adarabba, on the contrary, that's a kula. because the darko lelech lahazik of Eish is koach acher mu'uruv bo. So that if you want to discuss the kula of Shar Umave, you're going to have to say that Shar Umave, since they have a will of their own, these are live beings that make their decisions on their own to go out and damage, maybe the person who's responsible for them is less responsible than the case of Eish. Eish doesn't have any sort of seichel. It's not holech mi'atzmo lahazik. That's the way Tosus understands this. Rashba, on the other hand, is willing to say what we suggested, that Eish has a chumra of koach hachem u'uruv bo, in the fact that as soon as you light the fire, you have to understand it's going to spread. In the case of animals, you know, the situations will arise during extended period of time, in which the animals will then, but only then, go out in mazik. It's not an immediate hezek like the case of Eish. The Mishnah says, lo zev azef, we combine both Shar, Mav, and Eish, the three of them, we would not be able to derive bar, shedarkon lelech ulahazik, kerea bar, she'en darkon lelech ulahazik. In the case of bar, there is an element, a contribution here of the nizak who is damaged, because it's the nizak bar eitz ala mazik. So that's the kula of bar. Had the Torah written bar and only bar, we would not be able to derive the other mazikim, because bar has a chumra that it's tchilas asiyoso l'nezek. Bar, by its very nature, once you create it, it's a mazik. It's a dangerous ditch. An animal, a person could fall in, kalim could fall in, etc., etc. In any event, the Mishnah doesn't go into all the details, but gives you the general stretches. General sketch, I would say, as to why we need all four told us in the all four of us nezikin in the Torah, and the Mishnah concludes by telling us hatzara shavisha behen, what's common to all four of us nezikin is darkon lahazik, meaning it's quite predictable. We can anticipate that there's going to be a hezek in all these cases, and therefore Shmiras and Alecha, which means you are obligated to guard and protect from Nezikin, and the Torah was Machayev a person to pay not only for the Nezikin that his own body engenders, which for sure he's responsible for his own body, but also for his Mammon, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. The Mishnah goes ahead and says, "Kishehizik chav hamazik l'shalim tashlume nezek b'meitav ha'aretz." That when the mazik pays and compensates the nizak for damages, if he pays up with karka, he's got to pay with what's called idis, and that's based on the pasuk that says, "Meitav sadeu meitav karmu yishalim." That's the highest quality of nezikin. And even though this din is formulated by the Torah with regard to Shein Veregel, this Gzeir Shava that we're going to learn on Daf Hey, from which we derive by analogy all the Avos Nezikin from Shein Veregel, they all require a Tashlumin of Meitav. There's a long discussion as to why the Torah obligates a person to pay Tashlumin Nezikin, or I should say, what's the nature of that compensation. Is it what we call din mamon, a chiv mamon? It's like if I borrow money from you, I have to pay you. So if I damage you, I have to replace that which I paid. Or is it an onesh? Is it a kind of a penalty, a monetary penalty? We find, for example, many monetary penalties. A god of pays kefel. And the Torah says that if you are guilty of not providing the proper shmira and someone was damaged as a result, you have to be penalized by paying Tashlumei Nezikin. And the difference, the nafkamina, between the two definitions would be Kim Levi the Rabbi Mine. What would we say about someone who violated an Avera, let's say of Chil Shabbos? He burnt down someone's Gaddish on Shabbos. What do you have to pay Tashlumin Ezekin? If Tashlumin Ezekin is a chiyuv mamon, so then if I owe you mamon, mamoni gabach, you know, you have my mamon in your possession, you have to pay me up and return my mamon to me, regardless of the fact that you incurred a punishment for violating the Shabbos. If, on the other hand, we view Tashlumin Ezekin as an onesh, then when it comes to onshim, the Torah says that for one action, you're not responsible for two punishments. That's called kimlei b'derami, and you'd be potter for nezikin. So again, there's a long discussion about this with Hagos Hashri and a Meiri in the name of the Chachmei Adoros. It's not for us now. The Gemara starts by analyzing the law of toldos. The fact that the Mishnah mentions four super categories, those are the avos, the implication is that they're a toldos. Midik tani avos, michlal dika toldos. Fine. So there are all sorts of variations and permutations of the nezikin, and the four major categories which are written in the Torah, as we said, are avos, and the derivations and the subcategories, the tributaries, are called toldos. Toldos seyem kayotzeben olav kayotzeben. The Gemara wants to know, do you pay damages for a tolda just as you pay damages for the av? Now, what is lav kayotzeben? I mean, there's no question that you pay damages for toldos. It's always going to be darkon lahazik u'shmirasan alecha, and you have to pay damages. And the achronim don't understand, in the light of Rashi, who seems to take this Gemara straight value, how could it be that the Gemara has a suffix that the toldos should have a different status than the avos? Could it be possible that there's no tashlum in ezekin in a toldo? That's impossible. After all, you call it a toldo to mean to say that you're chayev. So some want to say that maybe as far as a toldo is concerned, the only obligation is a moral, ethical obligation that you have to watch and guard for toldos, but you don't have to pay damages. But the Rif has an entirely different understanding of this Gemara, and he says the Gemara's question here is that in Avos, the Torah tells us there's a difference between Tam in the first three times and Muad in the fourth time, and a Tam pays Chatzi Nezek, a Muad pays Nezek Sholem. A Tam pays Migufo and a Muad pays Min Aliyah. What about the Toldos? Does this distinction between Tam and Muad apply to Toldos or not? And there's a long discussion in the literature here about the Rif's understanding of the Gemara's Suffolk. In any event, the Gemara now goes ahead and discusses other paradigms in the Torah of Avos and Toldos, and let's analyze in those cases whether Toldos same Kayotzeben. Legabi Shabbos, in regard to Shabbos Tanan, Avos Melach Sarboim Chasar Achas, Avos Michal Dika Toldos, Toldos same Kayotzeben, Loshna Av Chatos, Loshna Toldo Chatos, Loshna Av Skila, Loshna Toldo Skila. We have the paradigm of Avos and Toldos in Melecha Shabbos. We have 39 Avos, and each one of the Avos has many, many, almost an infinite number of Toldos. And the law is that the Toldos, when violated, have the same status as the Av. So, for example, if you take a seed and you plant it in the ground, that's called an Av Melech of Zorea. If the seed is already in the ground and you just pour water over the seed, that's called Mashke Mayim. That's a tolda. Just like an av, if it's violated b'mezid with hasra and so forth to edim, you get misa, you get skila. So too, if you violate the tolda, you mashkizraim, you also b'mezid, you chayev skila. If you do it b'shogeg inadvertently, both in the av and the tolda, you chayev a korban chatos. My ikar bein av l'tolda. So why do we differentiate between avos and toldos? Is there any nafkemina? And the Gemara says nafkemina. And this is according to the Tanakhama. We'll see that Rabbi Elezer disagrees. De'ilu avid shtei avos b'hadi adadi, inami shtei toldos. If you violate two different avos with one halama, you forget it was Shabbos. then you chayev for each av. That's called chiluke avos. So you chayev two chatos instead of one. If you violate two toldos that belong to two different avos, you violate a told of Zoreya and a told of Ktsira, then even though it was all Bahaloma Achas, you can't get away with one Chatas, Mechaiva Kol Chad V'chada, each Malacha independently generates a Chiv Chatas, but Ve'ilu Ovid Ovid told of the day, Loma Chayvela Chada. So if I plant a seed and then I pour the water over the seed, I violate both the Av and the Toldah with one Haloma, one forgetfulness of Shabbos. I only am Chayav one. There's no Chiluk here between the Av and the Toldah. Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayav, Toldah Makom Av. But Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. And according to him, if you violate the Av and its Toldah with one Haloma, you're Chayav two Chatos, because there's a fundamental Chiluk, a Mechalik, between the Av and the Toldah and the Tzuras Hamalacha. So the Gemara says, according to that sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Amai Karile Av, Amai Karile Tolda, if the Tolda has the same identical status as the Av, even vis-a-vis its own Av, so why do you categorize one as an Av and one as a Tolda? And the Gemara answers, Hach Davi B'mishkan Chashiva Karile Av, Hach Talavi B'mishkan Chashiva Karile Tolda. The Avos were in the Mishkan, that parallels in Avos Nezikin that they're written in the Torah. So when they built the Mishkan, they utilized these 39 categories of labor to build the Mishkan, and that gives each malacha, each Av malacha, certain chashivas. We derive the malachas from the Mishkan. That's because of the smichus between the parasha of Shabbos and the parasha of Mishkan in the Torah. But hach delo avi b'mishkan chashiva, those toldos were toldos, are called toldos because they weren't in the Mishkan, is karile tolda. The word chashiva here is very problematic, and Tosus points out that there are other girsos, but if you have the girsa chashiva, what it means is that both avos and toldos have to have a chashivas to it. Lahotzi malachas, come to exclude malachas that were in the Mishkan, but they weren't chashuvos. And perhaps if the malach was in the Mishkan and they weren't chashuvos, perhaps that would give them the status of a tolda. In any event, Tosus is bothered by the fact if the Gemara is looking for a distinction between the avos and the toldos according to Rabbi Eliezer, certainly there could be a difference as far as the asra is concerned. A person is not chayav skila for violating Shabbos unless he received first a hasra, and the hasra is going to differentiate in the between the cases of av and toldos. For example, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches speaks about mishamer. Mishamer is when you sift out the shmarim from the wine, you remove the sediments from the wine, and you're chayav as a violator of a toldah. The question is, what av does this tolda belong to? And the Gemara asks, Mishumai Masrim Bo. Rab understands that Mishamer is a tolda of Borer. So when you warn him, you have to tell him, don't violate Borer. Rabbi Zera holds that Mishamer is a tolda of Merakid, a different one of the Avos Melachos. But it seems clear that everybody agrees that you need to be Masra in the name of the av, not in the name of the tolda, but in the name of the av. And if Tosus rejects this understanding of the sugya in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches, and in substitute he says, no, you could be Meshamer, you could be a Masrim in the name of Meshamer, you don't have to mention the Av. The Gemara just wants to know what happens if you mention the Av, which is, get it right, so that the Musar understands what you're talking about, and he takes you seriously, and therefore make sure you get the right Av. Tosus offers a second interpretation, that perhaps that's good goofa what the Gemara means by hach davi v'mishkan karile av, therefore you have to give him asra in the case of a tolda by mentioning the av. In any event, one thing is clear, that in avos and toldos and Shabbos is a toldosem kayotzeven yechayev skila b'mezid yechayev chatos b'shogeg. Then we have another paradigm of avos and toldos, kabi tumos. in the laws of Tumos, at the very beginning of the Mishnayos in Kelim Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Avos HaTumos. There are three super categories of Avos HaTumos. One is a Sheretz, and this is in Pasha Shmini, Fayikri Yud Aleph. There are eight categories of Shrotzim that are mentioned in the Torah, and when they die, their nevela, the dead body of a Sheretz, is metame anyone who comes in contact with them. Then we have Shichvas Zora, that when the semen comes out of the body of a man, then it is metame anyone who touches Shichvas Zora. And that's going to be another one of the Avos HaTumah. And the third, of course, which is the most chomer of them all, is Tmei Mes, a person who comes in contact with a dead body. That's called Avi Avos HaTumah. A person who touches a mess becomes an Av HaTumah. And here the principle is that Toldoseyem Lav Kayotzim, meaning there's a basic difference between the Av itself, which is the Sheretz itself, and someone who comes in contact by touching the Sheretz. He who comes in contact with the Sheretz is called a Toldo, he's not an Av. And Lav Kayotzim, he doesn't have the same status as the Av. The Ilu Av Mitami Odom V'Kelim. The Av has the power to be Mitami not only Ochlin U'Mashkin, but even Odom V'Kelim, the Ilu Toldos, Ochlin U'Mashkin Mitami Odom V'Kelim, Lo Mitame. So if a person touches a Sheretz, and then he touches a person, he's not Mitame that person. A person touches a Sheretz, and he then comes in contact with a Kli, he's not Mitame the Kli. The power of a Tolda, meaning the person who comes in contact with the Sheretz by touching it, is to be Mitame Ochlin Umashkin. Tosus has a problem here with Tomei Mes. In the case of the Av of Tomei Mes, the halacha is Toldoseim Kayotze Behem. Because if a person touches a dead body, a human body, he has the status of an Av HaTumah, and he is Mitame Odom V'Kelim, which means that he's not a Tolda V'Lav Kayotze Bo. Then if a Keli, in under certain specific situations, comes in contact with a dead body, that's called Cherev Hareu Kecholol, and the Cherev itself, this Kli Mateches, that became Tomei through Tumas Mes, has the same Madrega as the Mes itself. It's Kecholol, it's like the corpse itself. And it has the status of Avi Avos HaTumah. So Tosus answers that even our Cherev Harei Kecholol is not exactly the same status as a Cholol. In certain dinim, the Kli, the Cherev, has the status of a Nogea B'mes. In other dinim, it has the status of the Mes itself. And it's still Lav Kayotze B'hen. So this is all an introduction to lead up to the Gemara's question. And here we're on the top of Daf Beis Amid Beis, Hachamai. What do we do? How do we understand the case of Avos and Toldos in the Zikin? Amrav Papa, Yesh Mehem Kayotze Mehem, Yesh Mehem Lav Kayotze Mehem. If you're asking whether Toldos in the Zikin follow the pattern of Shabbos, Toldos in Shabbos, and they're equivalent to the Avos, or whether the Toldos of the Zikin follow the pattern of Toldos in Tumah, and they're different than the Avos, it's a lower category, the answer is Lav Mikshachas. We don't take all the Avos Nezikin and put them into one category. They subdivide into different categories. Some of the Avos are Kiyotzmen, some are not. And it's going to take us a while until we figure out exactly what Rav Papa has in mind and what are the specific laws of the Toldos of each Av, and in which cases are the Toldos like the Av, and which they're not. The Gemara now takes a long pause, a long break, to try to understand what exactly are the Avos of Shor. So the first of the four Avos Nezikin listed in the Mishnah is Shor. Tana Rabbanan, Shalosh Avos Nemru B'Shor. There are three subcategories of the Av of Shor. And they're all three avos. One is keren, and the next is shena, and the third is regel. And as we saw earlier, Rav is of the opinion that the word shar in our Mishnah is a reference to all three, keren, shen, and regel. According to Shmuel, who says that shar in our Mishnah is referring to regel, we're going to have to reinterpret this brisa. When the brisa is referring to shar, it's not referring to shar in the Mishnah, but rather shar in the Pasuk in Chumash, meaning in the Parash of the Torah. That the Parash of Shar, which is, of course, one of the Avos Nezikin, incorporates not only Regel, but also Keren and Shein as well. The Rashba is not so happy with this, because why, if the Brisa is talking about the Shar in the Torah, why does the Brisa begin with Keren, and then mention Shein, and finally mention Regel, and Shein is placed before Regel? The Gemara, the Brisa, should have followed the pattern of the Torah. The Torah says, V'shilach es be'ira u'bir b'stei acher, in which Regel comes before Shein. Because the word V'shilach is a reference to Regel, u'bir is a reference to Shein. And the Rashba suggests that the Brisa deliberately changed the order of the Torah, because the Brisa is interested in what's called derech gedilason, which means that the keren is lamaila, it's on top of the animal, and below it is the shein, is the mouth of the animal, and finally in the bottom of the animal's body is the regel. Now the Gemara asks, keren minolan. How do we know the first of these three super categories, these avos of shar, namely keren, where do we find that in the Torah? The Tana Rabbana, the Torah says, ki yigach. It doesn't say a word about keren, it uses instead the word negicha. The Brisa establishes, no, ein negicha ela bekeren. The word negicha is a reference to keren. So in other words, in the language of Shas, we talk about Keren. But in the language of the Torah, the word is Negicha, Kiigach. Now how do we know that in fact, Negicha is Bekeren? And the Gemara bases this on two psukim. One, the Brisa bases it on two psukim. One pasuk is from Divrei Kabbalah, from Nach. And the other is from the Torah itself. And the question is going to be why the Brisa needs those two psukim. First pasuk shenemar, Vayaslo Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu ben Knana, Karni Barzel, Vayomer Komar Hashem, Be'ele Tenagach Es Aram, and the next part of the pasuk is Ad Kaloso. Tzidkiyahu was unfortunately one of the false prophets in Jewish history. He was a Nevi Baal, and he prophesied in front of Achav, who is the king of Israel, and Yehoshaphat, who is the king of Yehuda, that Hashem would give Aram into the hands of the Jews. And that was the way of the Neviim then, the Nevi Baal. They would create different dimyonos and dugmos for their Nevuah, and here the Tzidkiyah gave a nevuah of the keren, because he used the word karnei barzel, and that's going to be, so to speak, symbolic of the arm or the weapon of Israel to destroy Aram. So we see clearly that negicha, because it says tenagach es Aram, is a reference to keren, the karnei barzel mentioned in this pasuk. The Omer, and there's an additional pasuk, which is at the end of the Chumash, Bechar Shoro Hadar Lo, the Karnei Re'em Karnov, Bahem Amim Yinagach. It's very strange, by the way, that the order of the Brisa is to start with the pasuk B'Divrei Kabbalah, and then go on to the pasuk in the Torah itself. But in any event, this pasuk in the Torah indicates that we're talking about Keren, right? Karni Re'im Karnov. And with this Karen Bahem, Amim Yenagach. So the word Yenagach appears here, and the Pasuk is teaching us that Negicha Yenagach is Bekeren. And this is the bracha given by Moshe at the end of his career to Yosef, and Yosef is going to be the father of a very powerful leader in Israel, who's going to destroy the enemies. The Gemara asks, "My v'omer? Why do we need a second pasuk? Once you have the first pasuk, v'chitema, you might argue, divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinon. That's even though the pasuk in Malachim clearly indicates that negicha is bekeren. Nevertheless, we cannot set up a doraisa halacha and derive it from divrei Kabbalah from Nevi'im. Tashma, for that we need the second pasuk of Bechar Shoro Hadarlo. And the Gemara rejects this immediately by saying, Hai Melefu, you may be right that we cannot derive Doraisas, Dinim Doraisa, from a pasuk in Nach, but we're not talking about a Melef, a Yalfusa, we're not deriving new halachas here, Gili Milsa V'almahu, we're just simply trying to prove the meaning, the dictionary definition of the word negicha, the negicha bekerenu. You know, if you want to know what the word negicha in the Torah refers to, you can certainly interpret it based on a pasuk in Divrei Kabbalah Nach. Ella, but rather, why does the Braisa need a second pasuk? Mao de Sema, I would have thought. Ki polig rachmana bein tam limuad. The distinction that the Torah makes in the parsha of Shar, of Negicha, is all, meaning that in the first three Negichos, you pay Chatzi Nezek, and that's Migufo, not only up to and not beyond the value of the Shar itself on the market. And Muad, on the other hand, pays Nezek Shalom in Aliyah out of pocket, even above and beyond the value of the Shar. Hani, merely that distinction is betlusha. Keep in mind that the pasuk of Tzidkiah is talking about Karnei Barzel. Karnei Barzel means that we're not talking about horns on the animal attached to the animal's body, but rather artificial Karnei Barzel pieces of metal that he uses to destroy his enemy. That's called a Karen Tlusha. That's Karnei Barzel. And maybe that's what the Torah has in mind in the parasha Negicha. Aval bekeren mechuberes, but in the natural keren that's attached to the animal's body, there we want to be more machmir to watch the animal. Ema kula muedesi, maybe from the get-go, the animal is really a shara muot, and the owner of the animal will have to pay compensation even on the negicha rishona, the first negicha, nezek sholim in aliyah, toshma b'char shoro hador lo, etc. That even in the case of mechuberes, which is in the parish of Yosef there in Vizos HaBrocha, there too it's called negicha to teach us the distinction between shar tam and shar muad in Mechuberes. And I guess what you'd have to say here is that a Keren Tlusha is a much more unusual form of Nezek, and therefore the animal would have to prove itself by repeating its damaging three times before we could hold the owner of the animal totally, fully responsible. That was the Havamina here. But in any event, we have two psukim for Keren, that Negicha is Keren, and the parasha Negicha is the parasha of Keren. One is teaching me Keren Tlusha, the other is teaching me Keren Mechuberes. Regarding this Havamina of the Gemara, meaning if we only had the Pasuk in Nach, that a Keren Mechuberes would be Kula Muedesi, there's a Lamdisha Rashba here, Kashin Eteretz. The Rashba thinks that, what do you mean Keren Mechuberes should be considered a shar muad from the get-go, even on the first negicha. Adarab, he wants to say the opposite is true. We should say logically that in the case of Karen Mechuberes, maybe, again, if we only had the first pasuk of Karen Tlusha of Tzidkio, maybe the parsha is going to be more mekil in the case of Karen Mechuberes, and the animal, even after the third negicha, still retains its status as a shartam to pay nezik sholem. And maybe there is no such thing as a shar muad in the natural propensity of the shar with its you know, the horns that are attached to its head. Only in the case of a shar that goes out of its way to find some sort of way of destroying, that's a Karen Tlusha, then we could say that the shar established itself as the shar muad. Maybe a shar of Karen Mechuberes always remains a shar tam, only paying the maximum of chatzi nezik migufo, and the din of Suffolk applies here, meaning if we don't know if the parsha is only referring to Tlusha, and we don't know what the Torah, how the Torah would classify and generate the dinim of a shar that was, you know, geach with a Karen Mechuberes, it's natural Karen, maybe we should be more makil in this Suffolk and consider that the shar, again in the Havabina, would be a shar tamli olam vayet. And therefore, suffek mamon lekula, you know, protecting the interests of the muchzak here, the mazik, the owner of the shar. And he comes up with a brand new principle called suffek nezikin lahachmir, which I think would make a lot more sense if we assume that the nature of the chiyuv tashlumin nezikin is that of an isur, of having violated the isur of shmiras nezikin. And we treat the tashlumin only as a result of violating this iser, and therefore suffik iser lahachmir. In any event, the Gemara goes on to say, "Tolda de Karen Maihi." We're talking about the avos and the toldos. What is the tolda of Karen? And the Gemara answers, "Negifa." Negifa means where the animal pushes. That's called dechifa, it pushes something and damages it. Neshicha, it bites. Revitza, it jumps on Kalim and destroys them with its body. Be'ita means it kicks Kalim with its feet and destroys them. These are all cases where it doesn't use its keren. And the Gemara asks, Maishna negicha dekari le'av dechsiv ki yigach? Negifa namiksiv. You're telling me that negicha, when it gores with its horns, that's an av because that's written in the parsha. Negifa is also in the parsha when it pushes something. In Shmos Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says ki yigov shar ish es shari eu. So why not elevate negifa when the animal pushes with its body to the status of an av? Hi negifa. The Gemara says that the pasuk, when it uses the word negifa, kiigov, is negichahi. It's a reference to the keren, the horns of the animal, but not negifa begufa. Negifa begufa is not written in the Torah. Desanyan, I'll prove it to you from a brisa. Pasak benegifa v'siyem benegicha. Why does the Torah open the parsha with kiigov, and it completes the parsha with kiigach, kishar nagachu, negicha, lomer lecha, to tell you, zui negicha, that the word negicha here means negicha. The Gemara asks, maishna gabi adam dechsiv kiigach, umaishna gabi behema dechsiv kiigof. Why is it that with regard to a shar that attacks, that gores a person, the Torah uses the word ki yigaf negifa, right? That's the beginning of the parsha. It's the pasuk says ki yigaf shores ish os isha. The word negicha is used when it attacks a human being, and yet when it comes to a shar, if the victim of the attack is a shar, it says ki yigaf. Kigof Shar Ish Es Shar Reyehu. And the Gemara answers, Adam de Isle Mazla Ksiv Kigach. Man is able to guard himself. He has intelligence. He can protect himself, and he can avoid the negicha. Ksiv ki yigach. Negicha means that the shor comes and attacks him, like the bulls in Spain. You know, in the bullfights, they mamish attack you, and they want to kill you, and that's a deliberate act with a lot of force. That's the only way the shor could be nogeach a man. Negifa more means that it inadvertently the animal pushes something, and behema de lesle mazla, behema doesn't have so much intelligence to protect itself. It's not as wise as man to sideswipe the attack. Is ksiv kiigof, that even in the case of negifa, where the animal sort of pushes, and that's inadvertent in a certain sense, we could call it akroy, v'derech akroy, it happens, is that that's enough to attack or damage, I should say, an animal. U'milsag av urche kamashmalon. So when the Torah uses these two words, these two terms, negifa and negicha, one referring to man as the victim, one referring to the animal as the victim, the Torah is telling us, with regard to Ishar, de muad le'adam havi muad le'behema, if the animal consistently attacks man, then certainly we can assume it's belligerent to animals. It's like a kal v'chomer, if it can successfully attack and damage and injure a man, certainly how much more so can it damage an animal? And muad lebehema, but if on a number of occasions the animal attacked another animal, lo avi muad liadam, it doesn't mean ipso facto that the animal is going to successfully attack a man, because it takes a lot more to attack a man. And the nafkamina is going to be, for example, in the case of kofar, we know that a shar muad that attacks and kills a man pays kofar. And even though the shar was muad lebehema, and let's even say that it killed three animals, we don't assume, therefore, that it's muad to kill a man, and there would not be a payment of kofar. That's what we learn from the different languages here the Torah uses for keren, the negicha and the negifa. The Gemara goes back now to the other cases of toldos of keren, neshicha, ravitza, be'ita, neshicha, toldos de shenhi. Why do you subsume neshicha under keren? Keren is kavanos lahazik. Neshicha would be shen. The animal bites with its mouth. That's called shein. And the Gemara answers, lo. Shein yesh hanola zeka, ha ein hanola zeka. We're not talking about the animal eating something and consuming food for its benefit, for its hana, but rather we're talking about the animal belligerently attacking and harming and injuring through its shein. It gets no benefit from it. Ravitza be'ita told of the regali. Why do you classify the jumping on the kalim and or rolling on the kalim and silver kicking the kalim, all these cases should come under keren, especially the case of be'ita for sure. Now ravitza also, the mafarshim say, is kfifas ragleha. Ravitza means the animal sort of curls inwardly its legs and then it's rovates, rovetzes. His Gemara answers, lo. No, regel is a zeka matsui. Regel means the animal walks and it steps on things. And through that drisa, it crushes things. But honey, these cases is ain't a zeka matsui. This is not the regular way the animal walks. This is an attack that was deliberate and well thought out, well planned by the animal. That's a tolda of keren. The Gemara goes back now to the discussion of Rav Papa Ella. The Gemara asks, Toldoseim, Lav, Kayotzim, and the Omer of Papa, hey. It would seem that all these toldos have the same status as the av. So what is the case of lav kayotze behen? Ilemahani, if her papa had in mind the toldos of Karen, is maishna Karen the kavanos lahazik umamoncho shmirosa lecha? Is hani nami kavanos lahazik umamona ushmirosa lecha? Ella told us the Karen ki Karen the kika omer of papa. I told us the shein veregel. So the Gemara insists that the toldos of Karen are identical to the avos, to the av of Karen. What defines the av of Karen? The animal gores with its horns, its kavanos lazik, it has a belligerent intention to damage. And you're responsible because you own this shor that has a Karen to it, you have to make sure that it doesn't damage. It's as a result of shmiras and alecha, Yechayev, you have to pay Nezikin. Is the same idea applies identically to the toldos? Because in all the cases of toldos, there's kavanos lahazik. Is mamoncha ushmiros and alech, you own the shor, and you have to guard it and protect damages. And therefore, the conclusion is that certainly toldos, the keren, kikeren. And therefore, if you're talking about four avos nezikin, we could already come to the conclusion that with regard to one of them, namely Karen, toldosam kayotzeven, and all the dini nezikin that apply to the av, apply to the told as well. And now the Gemara is going to try to establish that when Rav Papa indicated that there are avos that's toldosam lav kayotzeven, he was referring to shein veregel. And that's going to be the brisa here on the bottom of Daf Beis Amid Beis. So we'll pick up in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.